Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's text is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 4. It reads, "Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So this morning we will dive into the Sermon on the Mount preached by Jesus. What makes Jesus, his sermon, so effective is it cuts through the man's heart. Jesus deals with the inner man. Of course, outward actions and emotions are important to God as well. However, if those actions are not sincere, if they're not right, then they are worthless to God. They're garbage. Friends, pleasing God is a lot more important than pleasing man. However, so many people have it flipped in reverse. They care about what man thinks and not God. Well, God can do something that man can't, because God can read the heart. He can see right through our actions. He knows the intentions of the heart. Isaiah 29:15 reads, "Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, 'Who sees us? And who knows us?' God sees us. God sees how we conduct ourselves in private. He knows our every secret. In fact, Jesus mentions the word secret 6 times in the sermon. Again, of course it matters how we conduct ourselves in front of others. However, it matters more to God on how we conduct ourselves when we are alone. It reveals to God more about our hearts. Whether it's watching TV, or surfing on the internet, or playing on the phone. Do our actions honor God? So I want to read a portion of Jesus' sermon to give you a better context through his words. "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Skipping to verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, but they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Friends, this is a time to examine ourselves. This sermon is not a condemnation sermon. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. However, it can be uncomfortable and also serve as a wake-up call. We all have weaknesses, but we can't always use these weaknesses as excuses. But it's time to take our walk seriously, to stop playing games and consider Christianity more than a religion, but a relationship with God through Christ. It's time to grow up spiritually rather than remain like baby believers. So two applications arise out of our text. First, the Father sees the counterfeit follower. Second, the Father sees the genuine follower. First, the Father sees the counterfeit follower. Many people say they know Jesus. Out on the streets evangelizing, we find so many professing believers. It's amazing. You can know Jesus, know of Jesus, but do you know who he really is? So the question gets posed to the professing believer. So how are you serving him? The bottom line is, you have a relationship with God through Jesus. This is a question for all of us to think about. So many claim to know Jesus, but does he know you personally? Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Those are words no professing believer ever wants to hear on Judgment Day. So many people did a one-time profession, accepted Christ, not wholeheartedly, then moved on with their lives like nothing ever happened. Isn't that considered a false profession? So think to yourself, when was the last time you prayed in private? When was the last time you gave God praise outside of church? When was the last time you read the Bible? Has it been a while? If ever? If these are true for you, then what kind of relationship with God do you have? Ephesians 6:24 reads, "Grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. In the sermon, Jesus states not to be like the hypocrites. Hypocrites are pretenders. They present an outward impression of some kind of religious person, but inwardly act the opposite when alone. It's like playing dress up for Halloween. What kind of biblical character can I put on today? It's Sunday, so I'll put on Jesus. But Friday, I'll put on Lucifer. This is like the counterfeit follower. For example, counterfeit money. It looks real, it feels real, it may even smell real, I don't know. However, one way to detect a counterfeit bill to see if the conditions are right is to hold it up to the light to spot the watermark. To distinguish the counterfeit follower, to see if the conditions are right, not only in a public eye, but more importantly in private, hold yourself under the light of God's word. Test yourselves, my friends.
1 John 5, verses 1 through 5 reads, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let's look at Judas Iscariot. Judas is best known for one thing: his betrayal of Jesus. But for 3 years, Judas lived and followed Jesus. He witnessed many of the amazing miracles that Jesus did, healing people, or causing the raging ocean to be still in a second. Judas seen it all. He listened to Jesus teach. He fellowshiped with the other disciples. And he was even entrusted with the money, entrusted by his fellow disciples. When Jesus predicted his betrayal, he said, "One of you will betray me." And the disciples' response is recorded in John 13:22. It reads, "Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke." So they looked at one another and had no clue who Jesus was talking about. They all then say, point their finger and say, "It's Judas." They had no idea. Again, God sees the heart. He knows the hypocrite. He knows the pretender. He knows the counterfeit follower. And God knows when you say something and not mean what you say. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." An example of this is when Mary anointed Jesus' feet with expensive oil. And what did Judas do? He put on a good impression for others to see. He put on the good guy disciple mask. Let me take you to that. It's in John chapter 12, verses 3 through 6. It reads, "Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." The fact of the matter, folks, is that Judas was never saved. He may have looked saved, he may have conducted himself saved, but he was not saved, and Jesus knew it. John 13, Jesus said, "But he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" The bottom line is that a hypocrite can put on a good show, kind of like a magician, creating all these illusions that seem real to the eye of man. Can't fool God. As Jesus stated in the sermon text, "You will be rewarded openly." So in the case of the counterfeit follower, this type of follower is most likely serving for earthly rewards that are perishable. These rewards may be materialistic or to get their name in a paper, whatever. These rewards, they can't come with you to the grave. 1 Corinthians 9:25 reads, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown," these are the counterfeit followers, "but we for an imperishable crown," genuine followers, genuine believers. James 1:12 reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." This brings me to the second point. The Father sees the genuine follower. Sometimes evidences of faith, such as giving or doing charitable deeds or public praying and fasting, can neither prove or disprove one's faith. James 2:17 and 18 read, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Well, isn't this what the Pharisees did, professing their faith by works? It's almost like elected politicians claiming that they are for the people, yet work for themselves. Just to reinforce the point, only God sees the heart. Only God can read the heart on whether it's contrite, on whether it's thankful, or on whether there are hidden motives. God revealed to us through His Word that the Pharisees had a hidden agenda. Psalm 44:21 reads, "Would not God search this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart." That is why it's important for us to always examine our ways, examine our thoughts, examine our motives. Because we could fall prey to that same kind of pressure as well, good or bad. What is the motive for the things you do? Especially if they are the works of faith. Are they for the love of God, or are they simply just to fit in? 2 Corinthians 13:5 reads, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." If we put our works in check, do they stem from the true vine or the false vine? In John 15:1, Jesus ascribes himself as the true vine. Genuine believers are the branches that stem from the true vine. And Christ works in every believer, producing righteous fruit. People hate to hear this truth, that a person's works are not good at all in God's eyes if they are without Christ. People don't like to hear that. So, if an unbeliever and a believer do the same work as feed the poor, God considers the unbeliever's work like filthy rags, but the believer works of righteousness. Why? Because no work without Christ is good at all. No good work has any merit in His eyes without Christ. Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, that all our righteousness
are like filthy rags. The Father will cut off any branches that do not abide in Christ. So most of the time, one can see another's profession of faith by the fruit they bear, or the outward works, but that's not always the case. Let's just take our works and take them out of the picture. Let's examine ourselves without our works. Because believers are saved through faith alone and Christ alone, and not by our works. So let's look at other proofs or evidences that make a genuine believer. First, a genuine believer has a genuine love for God. Luke 10:27 reads, "So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" Not to say that a genuine believer is perfect. Has anyone done all these things perfectly 100% of the time? No. But the genuine believer has a close personal relationship with God, an intimate love with God. Second, is there a genuine repentance of sin? 2 Corinthians 7:10 reads, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death." Is there a genuine feeling of remorse for sinning or turning your back away from God? A genuine believer struggles with sin and is sensitive to the sin in their lives. This is a sign that impacts the genuine believer. Fake repentance comes from the counterfeit follower that continues in sin with no remorse. Third, is there a genuine transformation occurring in your life since becoming a believer or follower of Christ? Because believers are considered a new creation. Ephesians 4:23-24 read, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Not to say that overnight you're a total different person. No. Yes, we still have the flesh to contend with. But over time, changes do occur as believers spiritually mature, hating sins they once loved and loving things that God loves, and remaining heavenly minded. So if there is no change in your life, then that's an issue. Because if God is in you, then the changes would occur. So brothers and sisters, I pray that this sermon helped you as much as it did me. He wants us to take a good look at ourselves, our inner being, and our relationship with God through Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son into this world to die on our behalf, to take away the bondage in our sins, to make us righteous in your eyes, Father, that we can never do ourselves. Thank you, Father, for your Son, our Savior, his example to live by. Thank you for your Word, the instruction manual in our lives. Thank you for giving us a narrow road to walk on. Father, please forgive us when we fall short, when we step off the narrow road. But thank you, Father, for your unfailable love for us, that you keep us tethered to your Son, that you pull us back on. I pray, Father, that if there's any double-mindedness in our hearts, that you continue to chip away at it. Continue to renew us and make us appreciate you. Appreciate your Son Jesus more and more in our hearts and continue to live our lives worthy of repentance, light bearers onto this dark world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now at this time, please offer one another a sign of peace.